Okay, welcome. It's you're the first. You're the first getting your prologue in.
It's a me.
It's a you,
Charlie.
Okay, so it's going to be very loosey-goosey, very much like character. Driven, role play heavy, not a lot of dice rolling.
You know I'm all about that shit.
Just a hint of combat.
Yes. Okay. So I'm here for it.
I figured you would be. You've done this before.
I sure have.
Okay. Excuse me.
God bless.
It is that time of day. All right. Excuse me. Okay. I'm going
no.
to put myself oh. on do not disturb so that any badoomps don't make through and distract me.
Okay.
I do have my chat open in case anybody needs to message me for anything. Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. So, Em, tell me a little bit about Charlie Vanderbee.
He's a mean little sack of shit. Well, he's not that little. He is 6'5". And, you know, he's a noble. With a very big, important dad, the Duke of Roseview, and Charlie himself, he's the Marquis de Verity. I don't know why I said that with an English accent.
Because it's fancy.
It's fancy. Yes, he's just a mean little man.
Yeah. How would you describe his typical morning? Like, what does he do when he wakes up?
Well, he wakes up, he takes a bath, he gets dressed, and then he probably has some kind of bullshit on the docket that his dad's making him do. You know, there's the training with the rapier, and then there's all the studying to be the next duke. There's, you know, endless marriage interviews that just keep happening. He's not a fan.
Yeah, he's 27 in Istris, and he's not yet married. And this is not common, right?
Yeah, this is absolutely fucking bonkers for him. Like, most people in his station are married in, like, their teens. And he's just actively been constructing a completely repellent personality. You say hi, and he says, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. So he's mean on purpose.
Absolutely.
Okay. And he doesn't get along with his father, the Duke.
No. He hates his dad.
Why does he hate his dad?
His dad's a son of a bitch.
Okay. And what about his mom?
Well, his mom's a nice lady. He does love his mother. He's a good boy who loves his mom. She's not a fan of his dad either.
Mm-hmm.
So she just kind of took Charlie under her very crocheted wing and said, hey, let's learn how to heal people. And he said, yes! I'll do that!
Sounds like a plan.
Alright, Mom, you point the way and I'll do it. And she said, no, we have to wait for them to come to us. He said, right, because breaking other people's legs is supposed to be illegal. Got it.
What?
Supposed to be illegal.
Breaking other people's legs?
Yes.
Oh, so like the idea, like what?
Because you can't make your own work.
Oh, yeah, in that.
When you're a doctor.
Yeah, when you're a doctor, you can't make your own work because that kind of defeats the
purpose. That's illegal.
That's illegal. I see. I was just making sure. I was like, what? Okay. So, all right. So he's a healer mm-hmm. in some capacity.
Yes.
A full-fledged doctor, you would say.
He got his license at the crisp young age of 17.
Which is unheard of in these days. In these days. The days of you and I. But in Istris, it's possible.
I mean, he's been learning since he was 5 years old, so.
Yeah.
Does that count for schooling school years? I mean, that's 12 years of learning.
I mean, if it is his hyperfixation, it does make sense.
It is his intense focus.
Yeah.
He will memorize everything having to do with it. He can name every bit of minutia in the human body.
Nice. So he's a doctor and a noble, which is not a thing, really.
No.
Okay. All right. In his typical morning, he wakes up, gets ready. What's he having for breakfast?
Nothing. Good God. But no, he doesn't need anything.
Okay. No breakfast?
No breakfast.
This is why he's sad. He has no breakfast.
He's just not hungry ever.
All right. So no breakfast. And then he just gets to work on studying.
Yeah. You know, he goes into the little school room that has been repeatedly trashed through the years and pulls out like a nice thick book, and he's like flipping through to find his place, and he's like, fucking hell.
All right. So what let me think. Does anyone typically come to visit him in this room?
His mother and his mother's servant, I would say.
Oh, his mother's servant.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right, I think that's where we'll pick up. All right, so Charlie is seated in his little classroom and with his big giant book that he hates. And he's been sitting there for quite a while, and there's a knock at the door, and in walks his mother and his mother's servant. What's his name?
Josiah.
So his mother and Josiah come in, and she says, "Good morning, dear. How did you sleep?"
"Well, I slept in that." "Good. Yep, I slept."
"Okay.
What do you need?"
"Well, we wanted to talk to you about, you see, your father has arranged another meeting for you this afternoon."
"Are you fucking kidding me?"
"No. And I have to tell you that your father has made it abundantly clear to me that this will be your last marriage meeting."
"Well, that's fucking good. Let's get it over with."
"No. This is your last marriage meeting, as in, this is the last person that you will be meeting. and you are going to marry them.
You're fucking joking. Are you serious? No, absolutely not. You know how this goes.
I do. I do know how this goes. But you... It's either this or the unspeakable.
What is he gonna do? Fucking kill me?
I don't know, is the thing. All right? So...
I mean, it wouldn't be so bad. Charlie? And he just, like, drops his book on the table and stands up and he's like, I don't know what the big deal is.
It's a big deal to me, as the one who brought you into this world and worked very hard to keep you alive and healthy and some modicum of content in some way. Listen. I would never ask you to marry anyone that you don't want to. But we don't have a choice at this point.
I disagree. I disagree with that. I have a choice. And we've been doing this song and dance for over 10 fucking years. 10 fucking years. I am not marrying some random pissant that my dad just decided to draw out of a fucking hat. I'm not doing it.
Then what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I could go live in the fucking wood.
I don't think that's a good idea.
It could be an all right idea.
I've spoken to some of the other families, and this person is not as terrible as one might think. They're from near West Istris.
Near West Istris. Yes. So they're still East Istris.
They're on the eastern side of Les Montagnes. So, please, Charlie, I know that this is not what we wanted and not ideal, but if you can just hold on just a little longer.
Just a little fucking longer? I'm fucking 27.
I know.
I'm just waiting for the old man to just fucking die.
And I'm saying...
It's a race at this point!
It is. And it's almost over. So, do your best. We will make sure there is no wedding. You can be sure of that. But play his game. All right.
Fine. 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 I got it. Fine. Fine.
Thank you.
At least tell me it's going to be a short meeting.
As far as I'm aware, you're just going for a walk.
Just a walk?
Yes.
And that's it?
A walk through the hedge maze. Yes.
Okay. All right. Sure. Fine. Okay.
You have some time. So if you'd like to do anything before that, you're free to do so.
All right. All right. Fine.
Sprout.
Yeah.
Josiah, the well-mannered servant behind Charlie's mother, steps forward and says, we mean it. The end is near.
Just all right, I really hope that this means something with a noose is going to be happening.
Just hold on a little longer.
Fine, I got it. I listen, when I gonna go on this stupid walk?
I believe it's at 2
in the 2 afternoon. 2 o'clock. Well, yes. Okay, fine. Fine.
It's currently 9, so you have some time, all right?
All right. I could do one stupid fucking walk.
Are you hungry? Did you have breakfast?
Of course I didn't have breakfast. When do I ever eat breakfast?
Josiah, get him some breakfast.
No, don't get me breakfast.
I'm getting you breakfast.
Don't get me breakfast.
Come on.
Fine. God.
So, you follow your mother and Josiah back to her wing where they feed you a very nice, simple breakfast of crepes with homemade whipped cream and strawberries. Because for Josiah, that is simple.
That is simple. Me, the player, I'm like, oh, that's so good. That's delightful. And me, Charlie, would like to say, against my fucking will, this is delicious, but I didn't want any part of this.
Of course. Of course. 100%.
1,000%.
Okay. So, yeah. What would Charlie do to kind of pass the time? He's got like, I mean, he's done some work this morning and, I mean, he's had breakfast. So is there more work he has to do? Or do you think he'd get up and go for a walk anywhere? Like go for a like, what does he do for downtime, I guess?
Well, he's just a big fucking nerd. He loves to read. And, you know, maybe just being outside in the nice crisp air with a good book will help. And, you know, he has to take his time to look like he showed up for this. Mm-hmm. And so he dresses up. He does his thing. He's got the boots. He's got the nice jacket. He put on his worst looking, but best, probably, bolo. And he's just, like, dressed very nicely, very good, very comfortably, but not too comfortably.
Okay. Now, this is very important. Is this okay. Where he is leaving his abode?
Yes. He's going to go outside and go ahead and read.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he will not be returning to that point. So, what exactly does Charlie have on him?
Well, if he's just going to go outside to have a good read, he's just got his usual crap in his pockets. He's got a watch. He's got his peppermint oil. Gosh, it's like reaching into my own pockets and going through them. What would he have on him? He doesn't really bring money anywhere, so.
We're going to call these his fine clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, oh, yeah, he's got the book that he's reading and something to write in it with. So the pencil.
Okay. What book is it?
Let's say it's the Doctor's Travelogues. It's his favorite book. And he always has to read it. It makes him calm the fuck down. So he's got that. And because he's going to see his potential marriage partner, he's got a little knife in his boot. Just a little guy. Like a self-defense thing. You know how, like, ladies carry around the keychain that's shaped like a cat?
Got it.
But is actually brass knuckles. It's about a comparable thing. He's got it in his boot.
Okay. Got it. Does he wear boots?
He's wearing walking boots for this.
Okay. Walking boots. Got it. Okay. I can give you this. If this were a game screen and Charlie's looking in the mirror, this is where the text would appear. Is there anything I forgot?
Is there anything I forgot? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, it's right before I leave the sewers in Oblivion. Do I need to change my star sign? What about my race? I don't know. I'm calling it here, though, but I don't want to overthink it.
Okay, there we go. That's what he would bring, and that's what he has on him. So,
okay.
Charlie leaves the manor to head for some nice... spot to read. When there's like his favorite spot to read is probably nearby the kennels. And as he's walking, Em, I would like you to finally concretely tell me, what accent does Dean have?
Oh no. Go with the Scottish. Go with Scottish or Irish.
Scottish or Irish.
Mashed together.
All right.
In the incomprehensible, like, British rural.
Okay, you ready?
No.
Okay, Charlie's walking by the kennels, and suddenly he hears, "Oi!"
Oh, God. Okay. Hi.
Oh, you look like you got something up your rear end again today. What when seems to be I the not? Issue?
Oh, you know, the usual. Terrible sleep. Forced to eat food. Studying. Marriage meeting against my will.
Ooh.
Yeah. How about you? I bet your day was equally terrible.
Oh, no. I woke up this morning, I had a cup of coffee, and let's see. Ah, yeah. I had biscuits and gravy, and...
Gravy for breakfast? Are you fucking kidding me?
Listen, I work a long day. I do a lot.
It's bad for your heart.
It's only bad for your heart if you don't drink something with it.
And what did you drink with it? The coffee? Your the heart's coffee. Going a million miles an hour.
The coffee speeds it up, and the gravy slows it down. All right?
Dean, I fucking swear, I am not starting your heart again once it stops. Your first heart attack and you're done.
I'm how old? I'll be fine.
You're 29, Dean.
My pops didn't have his first heart attack until he was 35.
Oh,
so
fuck's
I got
sake.
Time. I got time. All right. You want to play with the dogs? They've been itching. They've been itching for a good throw.
Fine. Give me the ball.
There you go. Whee! So, yeah, he throws the ball and dogs burst into, like, just they burst forward in an army of fur, and they're just they're losing it. They love getting the ball. So,
man, the dogs are more fit than you, Dean. Bet they eat better too.
Hey, they eat what they get.
Yep.
I eat what I want.
Oh, okay. Rich man on campus here.
I mean, it was a decision between biscuits and gravy or oatmeal. It's not really a decision at that point.
What's wrong with oatmeal?
Everything's wrong with oatmeal. I mean, it's fine. It's fine when there's not biscuits and gravy around, but when there's biscuits and gravy, you get the gravy. All right. Tell me more about this, you got a marriage interview?
Yep, as always, we're just walking on through the hedge maze, apparently. So
anybody we know?
No, apparently they're almost from West Istres.
Oh, almost.
Exactly. They're, that's what I said.
They're almost a full person. Huh?
Almost. Didn't quite make it. It almost would have been worth going if they were actually from West Istres, but considering the limited stock of people that don't hate our guts
on the other side
of the mountain. What?
Do you think if they took the heart of an East Istres and the heart of a West Istrian and put them on the scales, do you think they'd be level?
Oh, fuck no.
I didn't think so. Anyway, these are the thoughts that bother the Kennelmaster. Midday.
Very productive.
You betcha.
You could be very poetic, Dean.
I know. That's what gets the ladies.
Yeah, I feel bad for those guys.
Ha! You shouldn't. You'd be so lucky. Ugh. The dogs come back with a ball, and he picks it up. Lucky for you. He throws the ball again. Anyway.
Yeah. That was disgusting, Dean.
You enjoy your book.
I will. So, I guess I'll see you later.
Have fun.
No.
Don't get into trouble. Oh, and on your marriage thing, just remember, don't put out on the first date.
What smart. The fuck, Dean? That's disgusting.
I know. It's a joke because you'd never. Ah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yes. Flip some of the bird.
Oh, right. Birds are exchanged. Let's go.
So Charlie heads off to read his book and marinate on what all is coming, what all has been, what all is now. And as he's sitting there, the surrounding realm of Roseview, can you describe kind of like the, I guess, scenery? What's the view from where he's sitting right now?
Well, Charlie would have gone more into the wood, so the view is mostly trees.
Okay.
be fair. Like, Roseview itself is, like, on the top of a hill, and, like, the front of it is just, like, grass, and you can see the city of Roseview, and on the other side, you know, there's the wood, which is just a massive sea of trees.
Got it. And this is where he would run away. If he
oh, were fucking absolutely. He's just like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I'll live in the trees forever. I'll live and die as a tree. Suits me just fine.
So, as Charlie is walking through this forest, it just feels like it's almost as if this feeds him more than the crepes. And this is providing more rest than his bed. Just being in the forest is like feeding into what he needs.
What do they call that? Nature bathing? Forest bathing?
Photosynthesis? I don't know.
Same difference.
Same difference. Yeah. So, yeah, he's just feeling very, like, even more so. He's always been a forest child, obviously. He always has felt more comfortable in the woods than he did in the manor. But something about it these past few months, it's just been, like, even more, like, he's felt a craving and a longing, even, like, not so much as he has in the past, but it's more deep. It's as if he feels the need to have his feet touching the earth. Not necessarily his feet, but like, you know, he needs to be close.
Rooted.
He needs to be rooted in nature. And he's just been feeling this, like, and sometimes he swears that when he's in the wood, he can hear whispering, like, but not in a menacing way, just in a way that's like, he's not sure that it's even happening, but it's there. There's like little voices that are like whispering in voices that are too quiet to hear anything. So it's almost like he thinks it's the leaves, but
it's just like, I'm just hearing things again. Going a little bit insane, was bound to happen. Family's viciously inbred.
you know.
As it is, that's fine.
So while he's in the wood, he just finds a spot, sits down, and reads. And time passes differently in the wood until he realizes that it is nearly 2 o'clock. And if he's not on time for this marriage meeting, the marriage meeting might not happen. And he may possibly be murdered. And while he doesn't have a problem with that necessarily, his mom wants him alive. So.
Damn it, mom. Well, so. He's going to head on over. He's not going to run, really, until it gets like really close to the time. But he's going to walk at a moderately clipped pace.
Okay, so when he gets to the like opening of the hedge maze, like the very beginning of the hedge maze, nearest to the manor, his father, Lord Byron Vanderby, Duke of Roseview, is standing at the top of the stairs of these, you know, grand, marvelous marble steps. He's standing up at the top with someone who is a good deal younger than Charlie.
Oh, God. It's just a guy. A really little guy.
Yeah. So Charlie is 27, right?
Yes.
This person is probably, like, barely 21.
Oh, God, it's a baby.
Yeah. So
what's wrong with this one that it's not married by 21?
So his father is standing with this young man and calls him, Charles, come here.
Coming.
How would you describe Lord Byron Vanderby, like, appearance wise?
Oh my God, the guy's got like a spine made out of an iron pole, and he has a cane to match, and the cane's like really ugly. You know, you have your standard black cane, but then it just like the image of human suffering is on there, and he says he got it from the war, and really we don't know where anybody would have made this kind of thing to just have, but he has it, and it fucking sucks, and it's heavy as fuck. And, you know, the man himself is just like,
yeah, he's, I mean, is he tall, short, thin, fat? What's,
He's much shorter than Charlie, but somehow he gives the kind of aura that he's still somehow looking down on Charlie, and he's like an old guy. He's like, I think he's in his 60s, 70s at this point. And he's just really fucking old. He walks around with a limp, dresses in all the finest clothes, you know, and but he's a very stern military kind of guy.
Got it. All right. Charles. Yep. This is Pierre Tas. He is of the Tas family. And Pierre bows and says, "It's nice to meet you, sir." And he like folds his arm in front of him in like typical East Istrian, but you can tell that this kid's not really like that well-mannered necessarily. So he bows again, which is awkward. And Byron says, "You two will discuss hobbies, interests, and goals. Walk the hedge maze and return here within 30 minutes.
Oh, a whole 30 minutes. Thanks, Father.
He just glares down at you. "Lord Tas, please tell my son exactly where you are from and what you have to offer Roseview. Thank you." And Lord Tas, he straightens even more and says, "Yes, I am from the far west of East Istris. Our land is up against Les Montagnes and near the coastal cities. We have a lot of trade that occurs in our barony."
Oh, shit.
I'm a baron. Fairly new. I mean, I'm not new to the lifestyle, obviously.
Why don't we take this to the hedge maze, huh?
Sure, sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's just go.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you lead Lord Tas into the maze, and Lord Vanderby, yes, I have lots to offer.
Don't care.
Okay.
I really don't care. My father arranged this just so that he could get at your trade, your ports. Getting around the fucking Montaigne.
It's been mentioned to me that this is strictly political. So, how do I put this? This is political. We don't have to like each other, right?
No.
Okay.
We won't like each other. Let's get that out of the way. I already dislike you immensely just because you're here standing in front of me at this very moment.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
I don't care what you have to say, what you have to offer, or who you are. I don't fucking give a shit. You could shove it up your ass. Fitting, since that's also your name.
Actually, it's Tas, as in, like a.
I don't care. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this walk. We're going to exit the maze. We're going to give the old fucker a big old smile. And then we will move on with our lives.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything else to me from now on.
And he just nods, and you both head further into the maze. And you reach the center where there's a gazebo. And on the table, there's a gazebo, and then there's like a little iron table with like two iron chairs. And at the table, you see a piece of paper. And
what is this?
Pierre shrugs and says, maybe you should read it.
Yeah, Charlie just goes on over to pick it up. Like, what's my dad plotting now?
And it is a contract of marriage.
You're fucking with me.
No. You see, you really don't have a choice, because it's either me or you don't leave the hedge maze. All right?
Oh, okay. What are you gonna do? Pull a fucking sword on me right now?
No. See, I know that you have these unusual tactics when it comes to swordplay. So, instead, I think I'll just... And then he pulls out a pen, and Charlie would recognize this pen. It's a common Istrian fountain marriage pen. Marriage
fountain pen.
And he offers it. Sign.
No.
And just as all the whole chaos of this, the implications of this, begin to make his whole world, it starts to tremble. Like, you know when you're so angry that you start to shake?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, that's where he's at. But instead of just him, it's the ground. The ground begins to shake.
Oh, shit.
And Tess looks around, confused. And before anything can be said or done in response to this tremor, the ground beneath Tess rises up.
Oh.
And jaws crash around him
as
a beast that you swear you've only seen in like stories, like in books. You know that they exist, but you've only seen them in books. But they don't exist here, right? Like, this is as it rises out of the ground. It is very clearly what looks to be some type of shark.
All right, just give me one moment to back away from the microphone so I could do this.
Okay.
What the fuck is that? What the shit is this? What the fuck? I mean, I'm not complaining, but what the fuck?
And as quickly as it rises out of the ground, and Charlie is backing away, he loses sight of it because the table is in the gazebo, right? So
yes,
all he sees is this creature come out, having grabbed Tess and jumped into the air, and then he doesn't see it.
Oh no! Oh no! Where the fuck is this thing?
So I'm guessing that Charlie turns around and starts to run.
No, he's hiding in the gazebo. This thing is made out of stone, bro. Oh,
okay, because I'm going to need you to roll a dexterity save. So just roll a d20.
I got a 17.
17? I think his dexterity is like a plus 3. So, yeah. Okay, let's see. Yeah, you save. On a successful save, you only take half damage. So, okay, so the roof of the gazebo begins to is suddenly crashed into, and just as shrapnel and not shrapnel, but like as shards of wood and
stone
begin to it's like very quick. Charlie jumps out of the way with oddly quick reflexes.
You look, when he's like scared of shit, you ever seen Shaggy from Scooby-Doo get the shit out of the way? He can get the shit out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I'm gonna share a picture just to kind of reiterate the look,
Charlie's already scared of sharks. This is just making it worse. They don't have legs.
They don't have legs.
How is this happening?
Yeah. So and when the dust clears and he looks around, this thing is not there. Like the earth is slow. Like the earth is still. And the dust is settling, and this thing is nowhere to be seen.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, considering that ass was standing very, well, kind of still, but at the same time, like, what do you even do? How does it sense things? It must have gone back under, right? Because the roof came down. And then, the only choice is to have a panic attack.
Valid.
Yeah. And Charlie's just, you know, oh, fuck.
And then the ground begins to tremble yet again.
Nope! We're gonna fucking Scooby-Doo back onto our feet.
Yep.
And right. Try to get through this fucking hedge maze down the other side.
Okay. Go ahead and, let's see, roll athletics. I mean,
Oh, thank God, that's a dot. Okay, that's a 9. I thought I rolled a 6. I was about to shit myself.
He has like a 14 or 15 in strength, right?
He had a 14 after a while.
Okay, so but he started with a 13, you think?
I think he started with a 13, yeah.
Okay, so a 10. All right, mixed success. So he does get some feet away, and this creature lunges into the air yet again. And as the creature is coming down, Charlie realizes that he is going to be underneath this thing.
Oh, fuck.
Now.
That thing's big.
I'm gonna ask you, what would Charlie, with all the power in the world, do?
Die.
Really? Seriously, dude? Come on, man.
Okay. If he could he would hide. He would find a way to hide, scrunch right on down, and cover his head and hide.
All right. As the creature begins, it comes closer and closer. It's like everything happens in slow motion. Charlie, his hands come up, his arms cover his face as he curls into fetal position, and suddenly he is wrapped in what he can only think of as, it feels like he's wrapped up in a wicker ball.
Much more comfortable and crunchy.
Yes, yeah. But he's protected. And he feels the impact of the beast against the wall of this ball. And it roars in pain.
Oh.
And when Charlie peeks through, he sees that there are thorns on the outside of this ball. And through this tiny hole that he's managed to create, he sees a burst of light.
Oh, and shit.
The creature is obliterated.
Oh, shit.
It's like light hits it and then...
And then like somebody comes in with the little like party blower.
Congratulations! Yeah. Yeah. He sees the beast just get obliterated right before his very eye. And a few seconds later, hold on, I've got to get something that does the right sound. I wish I had some wicker. Man. Anyway, you just hear a... Hello? Hello?
Wait. Closest thing I have to figure. What the fuck are you?
A girl? Woman? Lady? No, just a woman. Hi!
Awkward?
Yes, absolutely. I'm Tundi.
Did you do that?
The blast? Yes, I did do that. But don't worry, I won't blast you. I only blasted that because it appeared to be attacking you.
Did you do the rest of this? Where did all this stuff come from?
Oh, this. No, this was all you.
Okay, weird, but no, I don't think... How do I get out?
Well... Have you considered relaxing?
I've never relaxed in my entire life. Now, how do I get out?
Maybe tell it to go away. But really mean it.
Get the fuck out of my way, then!
Okay. The thorns, they just fall away. And when Charlie looks up, he sees a woman with dark skin and dark hair tied back in braids, but poofy in the back. She's dressed in what the Istrians would consider a shift. And she's got this long white cloak. And she's decked out in all this gold and jewelry, and she looks very like, probably big deal. Somewhere. Like, what to an Istrian... Fuck? She would look like a big deal.
Hi. Okay. So where do you figure into all of this? Because I'm really not in the mood to fucking play around here.
Understood.
which part of the murder and or marriage thing are you playing here? What, how did you get a fucking dirt shark that doesn't even exist?
Okay. I want to back this up just a little bit. I am Tandi. What's your name?
Charlie. I'm fucking Charlie. I'm not fucking a person named Charlie. My name is Charlie. Okay?
Okay. Yes, I understand. Thank you. It's so nice to meet you. I would love to explain this in depth, but we really need to get back. So, you...
Back to what?
Oh, the home base.
Home so, base?
Yes, the thing that you did, that thing with the ball, yes?
I'm not 100% on that. I'm not... That still could have been another magic trick.
I mean, it was a magic trick, I'll give you that, but it was not mine. So that whole thing, that was you, and there's going to be a lot more of that. So if you want to figure it out, you can come with me, and we can work on it.
And so where do you figure in all of this? Are you part of Ass's brigade here?
Who?
Ass? The guy that was eaten.
There was someone eaten?
Yeah, oh. They were inside the shark.
That's not good. No.
They're very much dead now. Probably, you know, something bad was going to happen at some point to them. This is East Istris. I'm not really worried right now because I'm really trying to be figuring out what the hell is going on. So are you on the marriage or death side?
No. No. I would have to say no. Charles! And you hear Lord Vanderby's voice. Oh. Toot. And she looks at you, Charlie. I really hate to do this, but I really can't afford to get anyone else involved. So, just close your eyes and hold out your hands.
I'm not closing anything. What are you going to put in my hands?
She like puts her hands on Charlie's arms, grabbing him, and then boop. There you go. That's Charlie's prologue.
Very nice. Very good. Very good work, Keith. All right, I'm going to stop the recording.
Great.